This is the Final Round Podcast, coming to you live from the FingerLakes1.com studios in downtown Seneca Falls, New York. And now your host, Chris Marquardt.
Good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to a late start for the Final Round Podcast, episode number 48 on deck. Glad to have all of you folks along for the ride with us this evening. It's going to be a fun one. We've got Patrick Bonifero joining us here. He just won the TNT Super Series Championship, and what a weekend he had in landing that. Jason Oldfield joining us here as well. Adjusted his schedule so that we could go to open house. That's the benefit of living in three different school districts, occupying three different school districts and four different buildings.
I was saying, you had open house last week that too,
was,
right?
That was Melissa's, right. And mine was the week before at my school. Or no, the week before that was Kelsey's, and then mine was, we had four in a row. Basically, I had four in a row. It was exciting.
Well, unfortunately, being faculty, you can't skip, right? You get to where you're at my age and my children's age, and it's like, oh, yeah, we're having school open house. Yeah, done that 40 times already, so we're not doing that again. So at some point in time in the future, you won't have so many open houses to go to, or you'll just choose to not to go to so many open houses, but you'll always have at least I guess at least one or two, since you and Melissa are deciding to be educators.
I got lucky.
Why is that?
Because I had to pick up a load of t-shirts. I had to go to Virginia the day of our open house, and then Thursday night was the Final Round Podcast, so I skipped mine back 4 weeks ago.
Well, there you go.
That is one perk of the whole aid situation, is they're like, nah, it's good, we got it. And then it turned out that the individual I had to see didn't come.
No. Oh.
So it didn't matter.
Oh, there you go.
Yep.
Well, glad we were able to join us this evening.
Yeah.
We missed last weekend, or last week, but back on schedule here. So I don't know. Are we doing another podcast now next week to get back on schedule? Or are we
can.
Doing 2 weeks?
I got to talk to Wade Farner. Wade Farner picked up a win over the weekend, which is a pretty cool deal for him. He's a guy that's been in the demolition derby circles for quite a while.
Yeah.
Done a bunch of artwork for him, and okay. He said, he was like, you don't want to talk to me until I get a win. Well, he got a win.
Okay.
So as soon as I saw the picture go up, I said, hey, so you're going to come on? And he was going to come on tonight, but then I said, we're going to probably shuffle you back to 8 o'clock, a little after. And he goes, I'm so busy at work, I'm not even home yet, so it's not going to work. So yeah. He said he was available next week, and he was also available on the 18th. So okay. I just got to confirm with him what the best move to make is. I guess we should decide at a production meeting when we find out what the football schedule is.
Yeah.
If the better game is on the 18th.
Right. Well, I will say I'm going to Albany next week and would be driving home on Thursday. So it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world because I could just stop here on
sure.
the way home. So
all right.
That's assuming I get out of Albany soon enough.
There's a lot of variability to that stuff.
Right. So it could work, but I guess we'll see.
Albany, you gonna pop by Catbox or Foxtrot while you're out there?
Yes, that's exactly what I was planning on doing.
Yeah, you gonna hit the RC tracks?
Yes. I don't know what I'm I know a couple of customers that I'm gonna be visiting next week, but that's about it. Schedule is still in flux, and
yeah.
My sales guy out there, God love him, he generally jam packs the days, and it's like, okay, yeah, it's 6 o'clock, see you later. It's like, Paul, you realize that I have a 4.5 hour ride home, right? I'd prefer if we could like wrap it up by 3:30 so I could be home by 8 o'clock, let's call it.
So you're trying to say that you want to get home before it's time to exit the car and go right to bed?
Yeah, that would be nice. Okay. I'd like to.
You're getting old and grumpy.
I was called, I was called salty yesterday, which I kind of like that adjective, salty.
Tommy Stark calls everybody salty.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, he was doing that before being salty was cool.
Okay.
He was saying that for.
And I will say it was a youngin' that was calling me salty.
Have you been called lit before? Has anything that you've done been described as lit?
I'm sure somebody, I mean, my son, Tim, he may have called something lit. I guess it's possible. But, yeah, that's one of those things. Someone did a skit. Oh, you know who it was? I think it was John Oliver on HBO. He did a skit one day where it was like, hey, it's like we're gonna all us old people are gonna use your cool words and make them so you can't use them anymore. So yeah, I try not to use
but as my high school I did that all the time.
Yeah, well, it's funny because...
Just to ruin it.
Yeah, well, right. And, yeah, it's funny the words that that I still use today. It's like, yeah, the...
Super cool?
Awesome. It's totally awesome,
have you
right?
Have you dropped a radical lately?
I haven't dropped a radical, but yeah, totally awesome. I mean, that's certainly one that kind of dates myself, right? But anyways, yeah. So we got Patrick coming on the other, I guess... So, I mean, there's a couple of things. I mean, seasons are wrapping up. So Patrick won the TNT championship, which is just incredible. And we got to get him on the phone because I told him we'd call him at 7:30. But we also...
I can take a live cue.
You can take a live cue? All right. Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, West New York Super Auto Association, we had our high roller event last week and officially crowned our champion, Tony Fabiano. So he was our champion.
How'd everybody take that?
How'd everybody take that?
Yeah.
Oh, I think pretty well, actually. Tony's pretty well.
It's nice to have a new champion.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, Harry Phelps was champion in 16 and 17. So, yeah, it's been time.
Hey, it's Chris. Any chance I can put you in for the final round?
So, it sounds like we got...
I'm trying to reach Patrick to be on the final round podcast. This is Chris. Jason gave me your number. Yeah. Oh. Okay. Perfect. All right.
Okay, it sounds like we might have the Bonifaro family on the phone.
Yes, we do. We do have the Bonifaro.
Do we have the patriarch? Do we have Joe Bonifaro on the phone?
Oh, nope. We don't have that. We've got Ted Barnes. I'll just go ahead and put him in.
Oh.
Ted, congratulations. The season was great, and Patrick was really excited to win the championship.
He was.
Do you got his contact info?
We do.
I don't know. Jason, I think, sent me yours by mistake, but all the same, the season wrapped up. It was a good one by all ranks and measures.
It was a nail biter for sure.
I would say all your Canadian phone numbers look the same.
Yeah, you know, it's the area code, right?
Yeah. Between it having a similar area code and 10 digits, just like a United States one, out of Buffalo with a 716, right?
That's funny.
Well, I will say that, and I've never seen this area code actually before, so Patrick's number is actually a 289 area code.
Yeah, well, you know, we're here in Canada, we make up stuff.
Wow, that's pretty incredible. Well, I'm glad you answered the phone and were able to join us for a few minutes and... throw your two cents in.
Sure, whatever you want to know. What do you want to know? The secret out.
Who's winning next year's championship?
Ted Barnes. Did you get your window replaced?
Yes, sir. She's good for 132 now. Never went 132 before, so now that the car can go fast with that, that's good.
Did you happen to see that, Chris?
No.
So what I don't. Happened? I mean, I'm assuming you were at Toronto Motorsports Park, I'm assuming?
Yeah, and we were running a quarter mile, and it was, I don't know, second hit of the day, and going through the eyes, and it was whoosh.
All of a sudden, it's like, wow, it's really noisy in here.
Yeah, it was noisy and wonky, and I'm like, what the heck? Anyway, it's happened to people better than me, so.
I would say, when did you realize that the rear window was gone?
As soon as it happened, I'm like, what the heck is that? I'm looking at the hood, I'm looking around.
Yeah.
And then I looked in the rearview mirror, and I'm like, oh, well, that's gone.
Did it take any trim or anything with it, or?
No, just the rubber seal.
Then
I got the rubber seal resistant, and got a new glass put in yesterday.
Cool.
Perfect.
We had the guy urethane thing in, so it's not going to come out again.
Right. Well, glad you were able to get it fixed. I have to say, I've never lost a rear window, but that's not true. I did lose a rear window in Phil's car when I spun it around. Okay. So,
happens to people better than me.
Yes,
because you could see that when you if you timed the video back right, you could see it, right?
You could see it. Correct. Yes. I don't recommend spinning your car around to lose a rear window. I generally tell you.
I'd much rather lose it the way I lost it. I mean, there was literally not a scratch on the car.
Like, yeah.
Nothing.
Just going blisteringly fast.
You couldn't get it out that clean if you tried.
It was just saving you. It knew it was time to be replaced. It was just trying to save you a little bit of effort, that's all.
Do I have his number? Do you want it?
No, we got it. I forwarded, that was definitely a producer's error, and we got his number. We'll give him a call.
Because he's, he'll tell you. I mean, well, actually, my press release is going out tonight, but you saw the short story on Facebook. Like, I mean, it was a story you could not have written. You could not have, never in a million years. The Vegas odds would have been, you know, 1,000,000 to 1.
Right. Right. Yeah, it was pretty...
No one gains 100 points in one weekend and then gets the championship by 1 point.
Yeah, he was... Did you say 8th or 9th going in?
10th. 99 points back. So our points program is basically the Pro-Am point system, or NHRA divisional points. It's all the same. Plus, we add qualifying points to the top 16. So you get 32 points for number 1, 30 for number 2, and so on. So literally, one qualifying position... Worse for Pat all year or better for Chris all year would have changed the outcome.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah, it was pretty. And Friday night when he won at Lancaster, that was his first win, right?
First win ever. And I mean, I felt bad for Chris because seriously, Pat beat him Friday.
Oh, okay.
Sunday.
Yep.
I mean, the odds of you racing the same guy 3 days in a row are pretty slim.
Yeah.
Although Pat raced 15 rounds that weekend, so I guess it's not that slim. But, anyway, he earned it, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah. Yep, absolutely. Well, yeah, we're definitely looking forward to talking to him here in a couple of minutes and getting his take on the whole thing. He seemed pretty excited to come on the show, so.
Yeah, well, get him on. You heard from me already, so go get him.
All right, sounds good.
See you later, Ted. Hey, thanks for coming on the show.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Thanks, Ted. See ya. Hey, that's making some lemonade out of lemons, huh?
That happened on Crash Course one time. We had a guest lined up.
Yeah.
And he sent his number.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't know the difference. I never had to really call him, pay any close attention. And he gave me a number of another person. So I'm trying to figure it out. And the guy's like, no, you're not supposed to be calling me. And I'm like, seriously, you don't need... Did you change your mind or something? He goes, no. And I'm like, going back and forth, and I'm like, I'm trying to reach Jason. Are you? No. This is Dave. I won. The reason why I recognized your number was I won back in March, and you had me on the show.
Oh. Well, I'm guessing that might have been Ted, too, right? Ted might have been like, huh, I wasn't expecting a call from those guys, but well, I'm glad that, like I said, I'm glad he picked up the phone at least. And
yeah. Well, then you started talking about it was the patriarch. And,
well, I was thinking, right, yeah.
Sounds reasonable.
It was the patriarch of the TNT series, yeah. Ted Barnes. But, yeah, I was thinking that.
I put a picture up of the back window. Did you see it?
I did see that. And
hey, Patrick, it's Chris. We'll fly around. Can I put you in?
Okay, sounds like we have Patrick this time.
We have a Patrick anyway. There's a Patrick.
So, is this Patrick Bonifaro?
This is.
Patrick, thanks for joining us. Sorry we're late. We actually just had a short conversation with Ted Barnes because that's the phone number that I sent to Chris. So, we called him inadvertently and said, all right, well, while we got him on the phone, I guess we'll let Ted give us a little bit of background before we get you on the phone. So, sorry about that.
Yeah, no worries. Thanks for having me.
Hey, we appreciate it. So, I mean, you know, after that whole last championship weekend, I guess we'll call it transpired, it's like, you know, this is definitely kind of a story for the ages. And Ted had suggested, he's like, man, you should have Patrick on the podcast. And I couldn't have agreed more with him. And so, I mean, what I don't even know where to start. I mean, I guess, so the short story, and again, you know, Ted gave a little bit of background.
He could only miss one qualifying spot through the course of the whole year.
Right, because
it was one point.
1 point is what you won the championship by, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and but I mean, really, the incredible thing is that going into that last weekend, you were in 10th spot. And
yeah,
and Ted said you were 100 points back.
Yeah,
which is just incredible. I mean, 100 points. I won't say that 100 points is. I mean, 100 points is a lot. I mean, for us in the West New York Super Auto Association, I mean that's 5 rounds. But
right.
Going into the weekend, I have to assume that winning the championship was probably the furthest thing from your mind at that point, right?
Oh, absolutely. I was just, just to win on Friday night at Lancaster was a big accomplishment for me anyway. So to be able to do it again and then win a championship, it was unbelievable.
I guess, you know, was it after Saturday, after winning Saturday's event? Was that when you were like, hey, you know what? I could actually win this thing.
Yeah, basically.
Because, yeah, I could certainly see, I mean, obviously winning on Friday moved you up some of the points, but my guess is you probably moved up from, I don't know, 10th to 6th maybe after Friday, right?
Actually, I think after Friday night I was in 3rd.
Oh, you moved up that much in one day.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That's crazy
in itself.
Yeah.
Not to mention the weekend.
Well, the qualifying points are huge, right? So I think Friday, I believe I qualified like 6th or something. So I got a fair bit of points right there too, right? So that's obviously a help.
Yeah. That really is absolutely incredible. So on Friday at Lancaster, and I guess, you know, this probably... do you know how many cars there were at Lancaster on Friday night?
I believe in between 25 to 30, maybe 27 or so.
Okay. I was wondering if potentially one of those days you happen to get lucky and there was, you know, more than 32 cars to give you an extra round to potentially make some ground up too.
Oh, no, I think maybe at Empire we might have had 30.
Yeah. Which is pretty typical.
I don't think there was any extra. It was 5 rounds to the final each day, so...
Yeah, and that's pretty typical for the TNT series. I mean, you guys pretty routinely carry, you know, 28 to 32 cars. I think, you know, once or twice I've seen where you've had over 32 cars, but yeah, typically you're right around that 30 cars.
Right.
So I mean, so this year is the first year. Is this the first year that you've competed in the TNT series at all?
No, this is my 3rd year, I believe.
Okay, I know that this is the first year that you've started driving Kevin Orr's car.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, okay. And, you know, we've had Kevin Orr on the show previously. You know, Kevin, I think we had Kevin actually on right after he got hurt.
Yeah, it would have been beginning of this year he was on, I believe.
Yeah, and I think it was right after he got out of the hospital, honestly.
We haven't done that yet. We haven't had somebody call in from the hospital yet. Not that we're looking for it, but we've done that in a crash course.
There's a first for everything, right?
Yeah, we had a Tanner Workoven after he broke his femur. He took a driver's door shot, and it shattered his femur and broke his pelvis. We called him that night, and he was in the hospital still.
And he decided to answer the phone and say...
Well, I had messaged him through Facebook, and I'm like, when you get out, he goes, I'm around tonight. Like, what else am I going to do?
right. Sure, why not? But... So Kevin's obviously a great guy, and for those people that that don't know, Kevin had an unfortunate accident and got himself hurt, and it looked like when we talked to him that he was just going to take the year off, and it was going to be, I'm going to get some rest and relaxation, and I'll come out to the track and hang out with you guys, but that's about it. And I guess how did this whole deal with Kevin even come up to begin with?
Well, Kevin, racing and being around the TNT. Kevin has become good, close friends with myself and my dad and our whole family.
Okay.
My dad actually built Kevin's motor for him.
Okay.
2 years back.
Yep.
So, yeah, just getting to know each other more and everything, became good friends. And over the winter, he asked my dad a couple times if I would be interested in racing his car for him. And given some time to think and not having anything to drive and Kevin's situation, I was like, I'd love to drive the car, especially if I could win in it for him, finally get that thing in the winner's circle, it'd be unreal.
Right, absolutely. So, you know, how long, I guess, obviously, it any new ride, it depends on the person, obviously, you know, some time to get comfortable in the new car. I mean, had you ever driven a roadster before?
No. I've never driven a roadster, and I've never driven like a full chassis car, I guess you'd say.
Okay. So how long did it take you to really get comfortable, I guess, in that car?
Honestly, I'd say I fit in like a glove.
Oh, really?
And I was comfortable the minute I got got in it.
Yep.
And the first two passes, I loved racing it.
And now at that point, I mean, there's a little bit of a learning curve. So I don't know. I don't know how you guys did. Kevin go to all the races with you?
Yeah. Him and his wife Lori made the trip down to every time I went out, basically.
Okay. And was Kevin dialing the car, or did he basically hand all of that over to you as well?
No, he gave me everything. I would just kind of bounce some stuff off of him, and he'd give me a look whether he thinks it's good or not, and
yeah.
I would kind of make my own decision from there.
So, now, I think Ted had said that I don't know if it was your first win ever, period, or your first win in TNT, but that Friday night that you won, certainly your first win in TNT. Had you won in more than a few rounds in Kevin's car prior to that Friday night?
In Kevin's car, I had gone, a few rounds previously before. I think I got it to the semis earlier in the year.
Okay.
But that Friday night win was my first ever win.
Oh,
and,
wow.
I had been to two or three finals before in another car I'd raced previously, but
yeah.
That was my actual first win.
Right. Wow, that's just incredible. So, I mean, and, you know, I saw, you know, winner's circle pictures from Lancaster. I mean, Kevin definitely seemed pretty darn happy. I was at the track, that weekend that you won the championship, so that was the Empire Sportsman Nationals, let's call it. And, you know, we were out there competing as well. And I know I'd been up at the starting line. And I don't know that I've ever seen Kevin so happy as I saw him on Saturday night. I didn't see Kevin when you actually clinched on Sunday. I mean, what was it like? What was he like on Sunday?
Speechless, I guess. I thought he was a little more excited and pumped up on Saturday night after I won. But
yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if it maybe didn't set in yet. It definitely didn't for me. So,
yeah.
But no, I think he was definitely overwhelmed and super excited that we could do that.
Yeah, I mean, it really is incredible. So you win Friday night, you win your first time ever. Now you come back Saturday and you're sitting third. Van Balen was still first at that point in time, right?
Yeah.
And so you're trying to chase him down. Now, both Friday and Saturday, you end up racing Chris?
Yeah, Friday I raced him second round at Lancaster.
Yeah.
And then Saturday I raced him in the final.
Oh, okay. So the stakes were super high then on Saturday.
Yeah.
I have to say, I didn't realize, I guess, that on Saturday that you raced him in the final. Obviously, 1 point, yeah, not, I mean, Ted mentioned that it was, you know, one qualifying position for the entire year, but obviously it was also one round of competition, right? Had he beaten you,
right.
I mean, obviously if he'd beaten you on Friday, you would have lost early and lost a bunch of points, but if he would have beaten you in the final on Saturday, that would have been it.
Right.
So now you're going in. So now you've beaten him 2 days in a row. You've won 2 days in a row after getting your first win just the prior day. Now you're heading into Sunday, and I guess had you figured out kind of what the points were at that point in time? I guess where were you at that point in time with regards to the points?
On Saturday night, Ted did the points, and I was now in second place.
Okay.
So Sunday morning, we had one time trial.
Right.
So qualifying points we need, right?
Sure.
So Sunday morning we had our one time trial. I qualified ninth, and the guy I'm chasing down, Chris, he qualifies number three.
So he puts a little bit more space between the two of you.
Yeah, so going into Sunday, before the time trial, we were 19 points apart.
Okay.
After the qualifying, he was now 39 points ahead of me.
Okay.
Just from qualifying.
Yep.
So now I had to make up four rounds.
Wow.
that's a lot. That's a tall order.
Yeah.
In one day? Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
So it's like as good of a weekend I was having, the guy up in front of me wasn't having a bad weekend either. You know what I mean? Going
right.
to the finals. Whatever around each day, so
sure.
And qualifying points.
Yeah.
It's not like he was sitting out the whole weekend and I was just trying to make 100 points, right?
Right, right. So Sunday, I'm assuming if you got to make up that many rounds, Chris must have lost first round?
No, he actually had a bye run, a competition bye first round, because his competitor broke. So he had a free round right there. And then it just so happens in the ladder, we were paired up second round, and he red-lit against me again on Sunday, second round.
So now, okay, so I mean, at this point, you got to know, I'm sure on Sunday, you're probably taking this round by round. Okay, if Chris loses first round, then I got to go to this round to be able to give myself a chance at winning. And so obviously giving him the competition bye, now I'm facing him second round. Now you beat him, I'm sure at that point in time, you know how far I got to go, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I knew I had to go to the finals, if not win, right then and there. Yeah.
Because you said, just to recap this, you had to go four rounds, he has a bye, and you win. So you go into round two, facing the same deficit. So you figure, with him red lighting, there's one round up. You still need to go three more rounds.
Right.
And that's the finals, right?
Right. So no tall order. All I have to do to win the championship is, in the final weekend, is win two races and go to the final in the last race and make sure that my competitor doesn't go past the second round in the last race. So,
well, at least you were able to control it a little bit by matching up with him.
Oh, well.
Yeah. Definitely worked in my favor.
That's kind of the only thing that worked in your favor when you're looking to try to gain 100 points in a weekend.
Right.
But, now the dominoes are really falling. Now he's out of the way.
Right.
For the second race in a row, now he's out of the way. Now all you have to do is worry about making it to the finals and making sure that everything stays dialed in the way that it's supposed to, and all the other variables with a machine.
Yeah, and we haven't even, I mean, all we've talked about is the how unlikely it is to come from this far back, right? We haven't talked about any of the individual rounds of competition. I'm sure the people that you raced that weekend, all of them weren't like 400 on the tree and a tenth over their dial, right? You didn't, I mean, I'm sure you, in that many rounds of competition, you probably got a bye run or two, but my guess is that you probably didn't have, let's call it of 15 rounds of competition, you probably didn't have 13 super easy rounds and a couple of bye runs to do what you did.
No.
Yeah, I'm sure you had some very, very tough races in there. And like I said, we haven't even touched on that.
It would be interesting is to see that tree and see who Patrick was up against, who also still had a mathematical shot at the title, because Patrick was coming from deep.
Oh, right.
There's other people that are in the way besides the points leader. So anyway, enough of us talking. You're here to tell the story.
Okay, so round by round, I guess Friday I had Jen Gunther first round.
Okay.
With her Super Gas Roadster.
Yep.
She was, I don't know the numbers exactly, but I know she was 00 against me. I was teen or something.
So, I mean, there's a perfect story right there, right? So here we are, first round of competition on Friday, and you leave the starting line, and you're behind.
Yeah. But, I think either she gave it back to me or couldn't run the number, and I got the win there. And then second round, I had Chris Van Balen.
Yep.
And I had him on the tree, and it was a double breakout. I was 699 on 7-0 to his 98 on 7-0.
Yeah.
And then I had third round, I believe I had Jeff Subchinsky.
Yep.
And I was what was I on that one? Oh, that one I was, I wasn't taking Jeff lightly because he's a great racer.
Especially
at Lancaster. It's his track, right?
Yeah.
So, I was 003, dead on 9. And then that gave me, winning that round gave me my first easy round of the night, and I had a bye to the final.
Okay.
Finally.
Where I raced Mark Herbold.
Oh, that's right.
And,
yes.
Sorry?
Yeah, that's right. I remember seeing the video of the two of you racing then Friday night.
Yeah, so I had, Mark and I raced in the final, and I was 7 thou behind him on the starting line.
Yep.
And I ran, he went under 99-something, and I was dead 5.
Yeah, and that's a tough thing with the TNT series. I mean, 8th mile racing in general, but I mean, you named, I don't know if Jen has won a TNT race, but I know your other three competitors on Friday night have all won TNT races. I don't know if Chris or Mark have been TNT champion or not, but both, I mean, all three, Jeff, Mark, and Chris, have all been racing TNT for a long time, and you know, they're super close races. They're just, like you said, they're down to the 1,000th. I mean, it's not uncommon to have a 00 light and go dead on with a something to lose, because the racing is so tight in that series, as you know, racing 8th mile in particular. So that was Saturday. That was Friday. Do you remember what happened on Saturday?
Saturday, I believe, vaguely. I'm trying to remember now. I think I had first round. I had, I don't remember who I had first round.
I would say, because if you can remember every single round of competition, it was obviously a whirlwind. I mean, again, 15 rounds of competition, not to mention time runs. I'd have to give you a lot of credit, because I can't, off the top of my head, honestly remember last weekend who I raced first round. And
Saturday I remember getting lucky a couple times, which in drag racing, any drag racer will tell you, you can't just win on being good all the time, right? You gotta have luck.
Absolutely.
So fortunately Saturday I was lucky. First or second round, and then I started catching on and bringing the car to where it needed to be, and I was good on the tree the rest of Saturday. And Saturday I had, that was when I ran Chris in the final, and he went 3 thou red against me, but I was 009 dead 3 in the final, I think, against him, taking the single.
And that's the thing, I mean, with regards to being lucky, I mean, yes, it takes luck to win. Like you said, you can't just be good all the time and win all your rounds. Eventually, something has to kind of fall your way to allow you to win. But there's also, it's the, what's the old saying? It's, you know, being lucky is when preparation meets opportunity, right? You have to.
Thanks, Dad.
You got to put yourself.
It's better to be lucky than good. Just stick with that one.
Well, there's better be lucky than good. Well, there is that, but it is the preparation and opportunity thing really is true, because to be able to be lucky, you have to be able to put yourself in a position to take advantage of that.
Sure.
And if you're up there screwing up, you could be presented luck on a silver platter, and it's like, well, because I did such a terrible job up until that time when someone presented the luck on the silver platter, I couldn't come and grab that and take it and turn that into something. So, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, Patrick might be saying, well, I got lucky a few rounds, but he also put himself in a position to take advantage of that. So.
Right.
So that's, that's your wisdom. Wisdom for today from your elders. Chris is over here dying.
I hope you had a segue set up, because you just sucked all the momentum out of this.
Oh, sorry. Well, I mean, I appreciate Patrick being humble, right? But at the same point in time, you can't downplay the job that you did that weekend racing. I mean, there's just no doubt about it. You did a fantastic job.
But you hit on so much with the preparation side of things. I mean, you talk about all that stuff. We're at the end of a season. We're at the end of a long season.
Oh, absolutely.
A lot of passes. Yeah. And a lot of racing had already been done away from the shop. So your maintenance program in between races is now really under the microscope, because you have to make sure that everything was right the first night and then take that preparation process and do it on gravel or in the bed of a in the back of a trailer so that you're ready for the second night of racing. If there's anything that's not aligned on that side of things, it doesn't matter what's put in front of you, like you were saying. You have to make sure that all of that mechanical stuff is sound. Or I mean, if you leave the rear end on the line, it doesn't really matter what your action time
was.
That's right.
Yeah, we had two guys last weekend who didn't compete with us because they broke. They broke the weekend before. And that's, you get down to the end of the season like this and parts breakage becomes more and more common. And doing little routine maintenance, it's like that stuff that you do that sometimes you think, oh, Jesus, is a waste of time. I don't know why the heck I'm doing this. Yeah, maybe you found something.
Because
maybe,
October, that's why.
Maybe you adjusted something. Who knows what it might have been. And obviously, I mean, this was a team effort, right? Because I'm sure that Kevin was probably helping do the normal routine maintenance on the car between races, right?
When he could, yeah.
Yeah,
he lives about 2 hours or so away from me.
Oh, he does. I didn't realize that Kevin lived that far away from you.
Yeah, so he's a couple hour drive. So he let me when I went and picked the car up before the season started. We got the car all ready, race ready, and everything. Got the antifreeze out, water in, and got it warmed up, and went over everything. And then we put it in the trailer, and he sent me on my way with his entire race operation, minus the motorhome.
I'm fairly certain that we, when we talked to him, that he did not have any plans on doing anything with the car. I mean, I have to say, it would have to be a strange feeling to watch my entire racing operation drive away from my house and being like, well, I hope this kid takes care of my stuff. So,
do you see there's just a truck series driver that was asked to turn himself in because a NASCAR truck series truck was taken to a facility to be repaired, and the individual doing the repair sold it.
Oh, no.
And the kid bought it, and he knew it was hot.
Oh.
And bought it anyway and checked out. I mean,
yeah, my guess is that probably wouldn't have made Kevin too happy if Patrick would have just disappeared off the face of the earth after driving away with his rig, right? though my guess is that, you know, I can only imagine what your dad would have done to you had something like that happened. I'd be a lot more concerned about your dad than I would Kevin, for sure.
Yeah, I'd be running from my dad rather than Kevin, too.
So now after you beat Chris on Saturday, you beat him again on Sunday, second round, I guess.
Yeah.
What happened after that, at that point?
Sunday, first round, I had my opponent red light against me.
Okay.
So then that gave me, Chris second round. And Chris then went 000 red against me.
Oh, my God.
Second round.
Did you hear that, Chris?
And what's that?
Juggling.
So, keep going. So Chris is being producer. So Chris Van Balen, second round against Patrick, went 000 red. So that means...
how do you even do that?
That means he was basically...
A 10,000th too fast.
He was a 10,000th too fast. Yeah. Yes.
Essentially.
So, and like you were saying, with your maintenance and whatnot, it wasn't really anything to do with that. It was my fault after I got back to the trailer.
Yeah.
With the trans brakes, you got to either push the button in when you're going to reverse and back up.
Right.
Or you have, some guys have a switch in the car.
Yep.
So Kevin has a switch, and back it up to the trailer, jump out, come pumped up, just 1 second round. Leave the switch on with the fans and everything while I'm trying to cool it, and end up burning out the tranny solenoid. luckily, Kevin has tons of spares of everything, basically. So just quickly jacked it up, swapped solenoids and everything, and...
So now, when did you find that out? When did you find that out?
I think when I went to go check the temperature to see if it was cooled off enough to turn everything off.
Yeah.
And the switch was still up. And I think actually Kevin was the one to notice it too.
Oh God.
So we turned the power on, pressed the button to like activate the throttle stop and everything just to test it.
Yeah.
And nothing.
So was there a gigantic moment of panic, or was it one of those deals where you were had a pretty good sense of the spares that were in the trailer and you're just like, ah, no big deal. Once we figured out what it was, you can go back, grab the part, throw it in, and it's not that much of a heart stopper.
No, it wasn't too bad. Like Kevin, knowing Kevin had the spares and everything, just kind of got everything out there quickly, jacked it up and everything. But no, it wasn't panic. We stayed pretty cool and everything, and actually Kevin was pretty surprised that I was just kind of chill, just change it and get it back ready, and that's it, right?
How much time did you have between that exchange and having to go to the line?
Well, we noticed it pretty quick, so by the time I changed it, it was probably, I don't know, half hour, 45 minutes after.
See, that's enough time for that. Yeah, that's enough time for that adrenaline dump to go away, too, because you're sitting on the line amped up from that change in the pits, and now you're up there, and you still have that sense of a little bit of urgency. That half hour, 40 minutes, at least lets you catch your breath a little bit if you did have any of that surge, you know, like, oh, God.
It is, but I have to say that this is, again, you know, where good drivers can basically just let that roll off their back and not let that anxiety get to them, because you could think to yourself, okay, yes, all right, I burned the solenoid out, but, oh, God, did I do anything else, right? Is this solenoid as fast as the other one? So is my reaction time going to be, you know, worse now? Should I be taking time out of the delay box? Oh, maybe the solenoid's faster, right? So maybe I need to add more time to the delay box. And somebody like myself who's terrible, I'll be up there in the car at the starting line thinking about all these things and letting that affect me, and that's where a good driver like Patrick will basically not let those things affect him and go up and be able to be competitive the next round.
It's fixed. Why worry?
Yeah.
Well.
Right?
In theory?
It's easier when it's not your stuff.
Yeah, that could be true, too. That could be true, too. So you get it fixed now, and now you go up for third round.
Yeah.
And I guess what transpires in third round?
Who did I have? I think I had Johnny Jablonski third round.
Okay.
And he actually had me on the tree.
Yeah.
And he ended up giving it back to me, and I drove around him by 5 thou at the stripe, if I remember.
Wow. And, you know, John, so, I mean, John's another, you know, long-time, you know, very, very good, let's call it .90 racer. So, I mean, he at 7.0, I mean, I've got to assume that he's got to be running 100 and, at least 120, 122, somewhere in there.
Yeah, I think about there.
Now, Kevin's car, you're running 7 flat at what kind of mile an hour?
About 109 or 10.
Okay. So, yeah, he basically comes up on you, has you on the tree, comes up on you, and then, like you said, gives it back, just misjudges the finish line and lets you get around him. And
yeah.
Now, I mean, at some point in time, did it go through your mind? I'm guessing that when you see him coming, all right, it's time for me to dump, or did you not even have enough time to do that, or?
No, well, actually, he came up on me, and I think we were both maybe misjudging the finish line, or I don't know, but he came up beside me, and I ended up, like, pedaling it twice.
Okay.
And right as I do, like, I pedal it, and then I was like, oh, no, why'd I do that? And then my wind light ended up coming on.
And see.
So we're talking a championship chase, a failed solenoid, and two races now that have been cited by a total of, if I remember what you're saying right,
basically 5 thousandths.
70. 5,000s.
So well, because it was triple zero red, and now this was 5,000s. So basically, yeah. 5,000, 0 and 5 is 5,000.
Which equates to what? 3 inches?
So typically, well, at that speed, it's probably 6 inches.
6?
Yeah, it's probably 6 inches.
Between
for two races. Yeah, for two races. Yeah, just ridiculous. Yeah. Absolutely ridiculous.
But he still hasn't won the championship yet.
He still hasn't won the championship. All he's done is one third round. He still has two rounds to go.
So now what happens?
So now you're in the semis.
So then I had to go to the final. I had to race Joe Kurosek.
So on Sunday, no buy runs for you on Sunday.
No.
So. Again, Joe is a long-time TNT competitor. I mean, Joe's been racing. I don't know how old Joe is. I'm going to say Joe's in his early 60s. I mean, he's a guy that I've watched race since I was a kid out of the track. Been doing it a ton, just a long, long time. Great guy. And I have to say, the last time I raced Joe, he kicked my ass. he's so mild-mannered. And easygoing. He's the nicest guy. When you talk to him, Chris, you'd be like, this guy can't be a racer. So you got Joe, and what happens against Joe?
Joe, actually, I was 008 on the tree against Joe.
Yep.
And Joe was he was late anyway. And I pedaled it a couple times before the finish, just keep a little bit on him, and then got the wind light there.
And that's it. At that point in time, you know, when that wind light came on, you're the series champ.
Well, yeah, I knew that, but no one really wanted to tell me that. Ted wanted to make sure everything was right with the points,
sure.
Because it was 1 point.
Right.
But, so it was kind of... Like, I think I got it, but now I don't know. So, I was definitely, once my wind light came on against Joe to go to the finals for the third day.
Well, I guess
I was fist bumping in the car and everything. So
yeah, and I guess from that perspective, right? You're probably thinking to yourself, okay, I'm pretty sure I'm the champ now, but because it's so close, I want to go win this next round of competition just in case they come back to me and say, oh, you know, Patrick, we're sorry, but we miscalculated your points. You actually have 2 points less than what we said, and you're right. Not champ, right?
No, that'd be awful.
So now you're going to the final.
Then I had Pete Maduri Jr. in the final of that day.
Yeah.
Who just showed up on the Sunday from... Maple Grove, I believe it was.
Oh, right, yeah, that's
right.
That's
the Dynabraid car, right?
That's the Dynabraid car.
We put a picture up from Stacy Kensington Richards earlier. We had
right.
a bunch of her
yeah,
photos.
Yeah, there's a picture
through.
Of the two of you from Toronto Motorsports Park racing each other. I think that might have been last year, actually, with the Corvette Roadster. Because you had the Corvette Roadster on there, right? Not the truck.
The Corvette, yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, this year he's running Jim Stoneman's pickup truck. But yeah, it's still the Dynabraid. Still a Dynabraid car. And and Pete ended up beating you then finally in the finals, right?
Yeah, he did.
And so, I mean, what went down in that race to finally bring your, I guess, a reign of terror to an end?
Actually, that was a really good race. We were both 00 on the tree.
Yeah.
I think I was 9 and he was 6.
Yeah.
We both broke out. I was 97-something, and he was 98-something.
Okay.
And it was, like, 3-thou at the stripe. I took the stripe by 3-thou.
Yep. So, again, a super close race.
Yeah.
Now, you think you're champ. When do you actually get word that you are the champion?
Once I got back to the trailer, from that round,
yep.
Ted Barnes and Kevin Orr and Lori and everyone, they come over and give me a hug and congratulations and whatnot. But Ted hands his cell phone to me, and it's my dad on the other line.
Director of competition for TNT.
Yeah. And my dad wanted to be the one to congratulate me and tell me that I'm the 2018 TNT champion.
That's super cool.
Yeah,
that is super, super cool. So, yeah, so Patrick's dad, Joe Bonifero, basically has been the competition director for quite a while. I mean, obviously, Joe's Transmission has been the title sponsor for TNT for as long as I can remember. But how long has your dad actually been the competition director officially?
He's been the title sponsor since the beginning.
Yeah.
So him and Ted started it together.
Okay.
And Ted came to him with the idea of the series, and my dad supported it and knew it was going to be a good thing. So he did that, and then it wasn't up until maybe 5 years ago that it started, I don't know, just kind of more guys and more races and getting, a lot of work for Ted while he's at the track,
right,
trying to race.
Right.
And so my dad, kind of whenever there was on-track issues and whatever other questions people had, just kind of go to my dad rather than Ted, right?
Yeah, and that definitely makes it...
For 5 years or so.
Right. You need somebody like that, honestly. I mean, that's super cool. At the size that the series is, it just definitely got to be way too much work for Ted when he was out there trying to race and also take care of 29 other guys at the same point in time. And I can appreciate Ted and I guess your dad too, not wanting to crown you prematurely. I know when we finished our series that same weekend, I was fairly certain that Tony Fabiano was our champion, and I told him in a private message that I was pretty sure that he was, but I didn't want to announce it because I wanted to be able to take some time and sit down and actually go through and calculate all the points and double check and triple check before you actually announce. And you don't have to do the Steve Harvey, right? You don't have to do the Steve Harvey, sorry, oh no, you're not Miss America after all.
Wow.
So in one weekend then, I mean, TNT now pays $1,000 guaranteed to win, right?
Yeah.
So you went home with, I'm sure, $2,500 plus total over the course of the 2 days in race winnings, plus the championship as well.
Yeah.
And so Kevin let you keep all that money?
Did,
you don't have to answer that.
Well, the race winnings, anyways, I have. I offered him money. He wouldn't take any, just kind of guy Kevin is.
Right.
I don't know. But he wouldn't take it. I offered him it. He said, buy my dinner and drinks at the banquet. So, I'm sure we'll split up a lot of the championship prize stuff, though.
Yeah, that's super cool. So now, have you guys? I mean, have you guys talked about next season already?
Well, actually, the last weekend, on Sunday, Kevin's wife Lori said maybe we should let Patrick keep the car next year. And Kevin said he wanted to try racing, I'm sure he's going to take the car back, or I'm going to take the car back to him.
Yep.
And help him winterize it and everything, and then I guess we'll see how he's feeling next year.
Right.
Being able to climb in and out of the car and everything like that, so if he can do it, then I'm sure he'll race. If not, then I don't know, maybe we'll figure something out again.
Yeah, it's funny because, it's just like, I guess, the professional athlete, right? The professional athlete doesn't want to lose his job due to injury. But it would certainly be, I have to say that I've never had somebody drive my car and be the crew chief. Since I was a kid, my dad was racing my car. But I have a lot of fun, basically, let's call it being the crew chief and helping somebody else out and going and racing. And it's obviously fun when you're winning. And I'd have a hard time. I still would want to drive, but I'd have a hard time saying I want this to come to an end too, right? I mean, just it really was a dream weekend. I mean, capped off by, you know, the dream finish in a season championship. And man, it'd be hard to say, yeah, I give me the keys back, kid.
Congratulations on the championship. I need my car.
Yeah, I need my car back. Right.
The simple solution is to buy two cars. Make sure there's two cars, right?
Easy.
Just tell him, sure, Kevin, to buy another car.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we got to get a matching one. It's got to be another 67 Corvette.
Right. Oh, you were right, Chris. You were right. So Chris was asking me beforehand what your Kevin's Corvette was. I thought it was a 65, but it's a 67. So I guess, you know, I'm sure you probably haven't thought of this at this point in time, but I mean, do you have any idea what you would do next year if Kevin was racing his car? I mean,
well, my dad has a car sitting at the shop right now that he got in on a trade deal and whatnot.
Okay.
So he's got a third gen Camaro tube car.
Okay.
So we're working on putting that together. Last winter for me this year, but it wasn't, we weren't working on it, but it didn't end up getting finished.
Yeah.
And then Kevin was offering for me to drive the vet.
Okay.
So
okay.
That was when we just put the Camaro on the back burner and I drove Kevin's car. So we'll probably work on that over the winter and see if we can get that ready for next year.
Now, it was your dad put a Barracuda together this year, right?
It's my dad's car. My dad's owned it for 30 years. But,
okay.
For the past 12 years or so.
Yep.
Ryan, my brother Ryan's been driving it.
Okay.
And so basically this, over the past year and a half, they've turned it into a full-fledged NHRA Super Stalker.
Right. That's what I thought. And what's the plan, I guess, for that car now for next year?
My brother wants to do some NHRA divisionals and maybe a national event or two. And
I'm sure he'll race the Can-Am Stock. I would say I'm sure he'll run the Can-Am Stock Super Stock show too, right?
Yeah. I think he wants to go for that too. So be a lot of busy summers, right?
Now, was your brother running in the TNT this year as well?
This year he came out to a couple races. He's got the 73 Nova, the Germanizer.
Yep.
And he came out to a couple races, but between working on his Barracuda and then racing that, and then he just had him and his wife just had a baby this.
Good for him.
Earlier this year, so. Fatherhood, it takes a lot away from the racing program.
That is it is tough for sure. Not only the money but the time as well. But I have to say it has its benefits. Being a dad, that is. Being an uncle's better though, because being an uncle you can just
they go back home.
It's all fun, right? Yeah, you can be the cool Uncle Patrick, and then they go home, and your brother can be like, oh, what a jerk my brother is. It's like, you know, doing all those things and making me look like the bad guy.
7:30.
Just take him out for candy and
exactly
fun stuff, and see you later.
7:30 on a Wednesday. Here's a handful of Smarties and some Mountain Dew. We'll see you
right. Well, that's very cool.
What a weekend.
So the banquet is when?
I'm not sure. I don't think Dad and Ted have set a date yet. Usually it's mid-November.
Yeah.
But it's, I think there's a couple other, like, local organizations that have their banquets on November weekends and that. I don't know if they'll try squeezing it in between, or maybe they'll just wait till January or something, because Christmas is busy then. And
right. Well, it is. I'm sure you're looking forward to going. I mean, I'm sure you've been to the banquet before. I mean, obviously, it's Ted does a really, and your dad do a really great job putting that banquet together. I mean, the prize table there is just legendary, but they do a really good job with the MC and bringing people up and, you know, getting them, giving them their due and letting them, you know, get their accolades in front of everybody. So that's going to be, I'm sure that's going to be really incredible for you to go and do that. And they have championship jackets too, right?
Yeah,
and that's super cool too to have the championship jacket and be able to put that on at the banquet. So that's going to be pretty darn cool. I'm sure you're going to be super excited about doing that.
Oh yeah, definitely. Can't wait.
So Chris, I did most of the talking.
I know.
That, like I always do, because I like to dominate the conversation.
And then you chastise me for not saying anything.
That's right.
what a weekend! I mean, just an unbelievable weekend. It's one of those weekends that, you know, 4 or 5 years from now, it's like everybody's gonna talk about. It's like, remember that finale weekend when there was 10 drivers that were still eligible to get the championship, and the guy from ninth went on a crazy run and ended up taking it by 1 point. Just, you know, when you start looking at the way that the numbers played out, where it was, you know, 1/10,000th, and then there was 3/1,000ths, and then there was, you know, 5/1,000ths. It's just so close and so competitive. Like you were saying earlier, there was no easy path through, especially on Sunday.
Right.
And to come away with it, just to defy the numbers more than anything and come away with that championship is something that Patrick really needs to be proud of. I mean, I'm sure that it hasn't completely sunk in yet. And realistically, since you did so well in the Corvette, since you've got one that won't be out every weekend, you could always just put it in the trailer, let him take it. He'll win a championship next year. And then you could do it to him again. It's like, wow, this car can go fast. I want my car back.
Yeah, right. I'm sure the scope of the accomplishment probably hasn't sunk in. I mean, Patrick, how old are you now?
I just turned 25 this year.
Okay, I was going to say 25. And yeah, my guess is the scope of the accomplishment probably hasn't sunk in. And because you're still a young man, probably won't sink in for, you know, maybe even it's 10, 15 years. And you look back 10, 15 years from now and you're like, man, that was pretty incredible that weekend, being able to go out and basically kick everybody's butt and take home the championship. So, yeah, I mean, that's...
Now I lost track with a bunch of different names that were kicking around there. Who's got the Barracuda now?
So Patrick's
I thought
dad,
Patrick could tell
Patrick's
us.
Patrick's dad, Joe.
I thought Patrick could tell us.
Oh.
sorry. Yeah, my brother races the Barracuda.
Okay. And what motor's in that?
That's got a 440.
Cool. So we're going to have him on soon, right, to talk about the Barracuda?
I think we've had... Have we had your dad on the show before, Patrick?
Not that I know of.
I know I've tried a couple of times.
We've talked around him before, but yes. I don't think we ever talked to him.
Yes, yeah. I know we've tried a couple of times to have Joe on the show. But yeah, Joe is... I mean, again, that's going to be... Joe's going to be a great guest to have on in the off season because the history of what he's done in the sport is just incredible.
Right.
So it's gonna he'll be a really, really good guest for us to have. And now that obviously in the wintertime, it's hard for him obviously because not only does he have his own business, but you got him being involved in the TNT Super Series too. So yeah, summertime is kind of ridiculous. So yeah, we'll try and catch him in the off season, and he'll be a great guest.
We could easily set up three in a row if we needed to. You know what I mean? We could set up next week with somebody, and then
next week. So maybe we'll just go from youngest to oldest. So
yeah,
we'll
sure.
start with Patrick. Next week we'll do Ryan, and then we'll do
absolutely
Joe
yeah.
the weekend.
It makes the most sense to me.
Yeah,
it's a 3-part series.
I thought you guys were saying you were going to give my dad a 3-part series.
Well, we could do that too.
There's been times where we've had somebody who's got a long legacy of the sport, and all of a sudden we look at the clock and it's been an hour and 10 minutes, and we only made it up to 1974.
Right.
You know, we still got another 30 years to go. So I mean, I certainly see that being a plausible reality.
Yeah, the other thing we haven't done either is we haven't had any family matriarchs on. I mean, I'd love to hear, you know, some of the moms come on and talk about, you know, some of their experiences, you know, keeping the racing program going is, you know, while someone else is off, because they're always behind the scenes generally, right? You can only imagine. I mean, I know that I couldn't do it without the help of my wife. I mean, yeah, not only does she give me permission to go, but she's always helping me prepare. I mean, when I go away for a weekend, it's like, yeah, there's a one of those long Danishes that she goes out to Wegmans and buys beforehand. It's like, here's your breakfast for Saturday morning, right? It's like, you know, it's little things like that that, yeah, you end up taking for granted. But it really is a whole family affair. It takes a lot of people to be successful like that. And I guess along those lines, you know, Patrick, obviously, I'm sure you're, you know, very thankful to Kevin and Lori Orr for letting you use their car. But I guess who else would you like to thank for, you know, what you accomplished this year?
Yeah, so Kevin and Lori, my dad, my brothers, my girlfriend Ashley. She's very supportive, and Scott Jaren, actually, he helped me out get some baselines with the throttle stops in the beginning of the year. And yeah, probably missing someone else, but Ted Barnes. Ted's always there helping me. I can always go ask him stuff while I'm at the track.
Yep.
If I need anything or whatever, right?
And any... obviously, you know, Joe's Transmission, any other sponsors that help you out?
Yeah. My dad, of course, Joe from Joe's Transmission. Kevin Orr Mechanical. I think that was about it.
I would say those are the important ones for sure.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Couldn't do it without them.
Well, maybe we can... If we can get Chris a passport, maybe we can get him up to the banquet and we can cover the TNT banquet live like we've covered the Empire banquet a couple of times.
Yeah,
perfect. We got to get an enhanced license.
we'll see if we can get that done. Well, Chris, anything else that you want to cover with Patrick before we let him go?
No, I mean, just first and foremost, man, congratulations. It's such a great story. I mean, you're going to remember this for a long time. That phone call from your dad had to be special to get that after the race was over.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you.
That's awesome. I look forward to getting your dad on and find out more about that Barracuda too.
Yeah, for sure.
Keep in touch with us as the winter goes. Let us know how that banquet schedule comes together too, so we can get more information out about that. We look forward to catching up with you guys as you get closer and you finalize your plans for 2019. It's gonna be a fun one to ride this momentum into the off season. It's got to put you in a good spot.
Definitely.
Appreciate you coming on the show tonight, man. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, later. Patrick.
There goes Patrick Bonifaro. Appreciate him coming out and hanging out with us for a little while. For episode number 48, that I think is going to do it. We've covered all of our bases. I kind of want to do shows the next 2 weeks, next Thursday and the week after, because that will put us on the week of the two-year anniversary of the show with episode 50.
Oh, well, that'd be kind of cool.
That would be kind of neat, right?
Yeah, that would definitely be kind of cool.
So, we can talk more about it later, but that's one of the reasons I was sort of hedging toward
that. Yeah, well, I mean, I will say that we certainly have plenty to talk about. I mean, other than mentioning the champion for the Western New York Super Auto Association, we didn't really cover that.
Could get Tony, right?
We could get Tony by phone, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm sure we'd be able
well,
to do that.
I won't say for sure. Tony is very, very humble, but I could certainly try to get Tony on the phone. But the other big news, too, that has kind of come out in the last couple of days is... Lancaster Speedway is for sale again.
Mm-hmm.
And right now there's a big question mark as to whether or not they're going to be, well, basically what Gordon Regier, the owner, has said is that there may be races in 2019, but if there are, they're not going to be with him owning the facility.
Not on his watch, right.
So that'd be, like I said, that's something that we can talk about.
Yeah, Spencer Dragway still sits closed, but it's not a housing development because the oval track still runs. There's
right.
some other tracks that in the area that aren't straight line tracks that have been kind of hinted around that they could be sold or changing hands, and those definitely will become housing developments.
Yep.
So Lancaster, I mean, a lot of history there. You'd want to see that go away.
Yep.
We can follow up on that. We're going to have Wade Farner on in a couple weeks, perhaps even catch up with Mr. Bonifaro and talk about his
sure.
legendary career as we get closer to to Halloween and the 2-year anniversary of the Final Round Drag Racing Podcast. In the interim, though, that is going to do it for us here at the North Park Building at Academy Square. We appreciate you hanging out with us, and we look forward to seeing you again here in a couple weeks.
This has been the Final Round Drag Racing Podcast, coming to you live from the FingerLakes1.com studios in downtown Seneca Falls, New York. We'll see you right back here again in 2 weeks. Thanks for watching.